I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, and welcome to Born Yesterday, a podcast in which I, Andy Barr, and my good friend Alexander Bennett,
hello there,
have been cloning ourselves.
Yes, indeed we do. We have been cloning ourselves, and in the 24 hours that the clones have been alive, the clones have learned about three things.
You fucking know it. And those three things are then told to our special comedian guests, who have to then describe other things to the clones, on the understanding that they only have the three things mentioned in the first place as the basis of their understanding for all things.
The three things in this episode are Andy Parsons,
the song Oops, I Did It Again,
and an air fryer.
Yep, those are the three things, that's it.
Now we have to make a decision.
Yeah.
As to whether or not to do the entire rest of the intro in Andy Parsons' voice.
I think that would become grating for us.
Just imagine how it is for Andy Parsons.
Yeah.
Morning! Oh no!
Who's he saying morning to?
Himself. Time for my shower! Oh! It's a little cold!
I think we've all collectively forgotten what he actually sounds like.
No, this is spot on.
That's it, is it? Right, yeah. Okay, fair enough. I will come out to bat for a moment for a radio.
I'm having a little shower. It's cold, like it always is in Britain.
For the radio,
I'm going to go downstairs, have my breakfast.
Radio 4 program Parsons and Naylor's pullout sections, which I've heard about 20 or 16, 17, 18 years ago. And at the time, when I was, 14 or 12 or whatever the fuck, I thought it was funny.
Listen, he's got a withering eye.
And it's amazing the job they do with makeup too.
Please disguise my withering eye.
I think it's actually very, very brave of him. He could wear an eye patch, but he chooses to just have that out.
It keeps that withering eye out.
It raises awareness.
It raises awareness for people like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An extremely localized degenerative condition.
You would not believe this, but I suffer with a withering eye. Let me cast it over the week's news. Stand back.
What does it emit? Pass. What's the...
Yes. Stand back. I'm creating satire.
Emitting my, oozing my satire enzymes to glob onto the news in order to get it into digestible chunks.
Yeah, and then he explains those things to a Radio 4 audience.
Yeah.
Andy Parsons has made me laugh many times. It's just easy to mock him because he looks a bit silly and he's got a silly voice.
He is bald.
Yeah, that's not really why he looks silly.
Fancy keying in onto...
Well, it's the conversation. It's the combination. I think
it's a load of constituent parts that otherwise would be unfunny if in another setting. But
he's got a shiny dome. Check. Nothing wrong with that. He's got a strong moustache. Yeah. Check. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
He grits his lower jaw like he's constantly in either fucking agony or having a shit, which is a little unusual. And the combination of all three factors make him look like a strongman mid-stunt at every point in his life.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's a particularly funny look for someone who does political comedy to have.
Mm.
It's like going to a Victorian circus. See the amazing strongman in his incredible feats. I was reading a newspaper in Kettering the other day. There's too many slip roads. My withering eye. he's like an oracle. He's like a giant baby in space overlooking everything. Yeah. It's Andy Parsons' withering eye sees through time.
Just quickly on the topic of strongman, more of a PSA for people there. Mm. If you have the chance to look up the a former Bulgarian strongman, still Bulgarian. I believe he was Bulgarian anyway. Dimitar Savatinov. If you get to look up him sort of mid-rep, he has a big bald head. And his whole head, sort of the back of it, scrunches up in such a manner that it looks like you can see his brain.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Apparently, he's got a lovely little dog, like a sort of Pomeranian or something. Mm. So look that up, Dimitar Savatinov.
Sounds like my takeaway order.
The withering eye doesn't always hit.
I'm in so much pain. It's an episode of Doctor Who. At least one. And I think it might be David Tennant's incarnation of the Doctor.
Mm. Suit and Converse? What a crazy card.
Yeah, what a character.
What a card.
Honestly. Like a startup CEO.
Mm. Very ahead of his time.
Very ahead of his time. Wonderful actor, David Tennant. Anyway, he's talking to...
National treasure.
One of the Daleks. And he's taking through the sort of cipher for the Nazis.
Right,
in the Doctor Who universe.
Yeah.
They are aliens contained within a tank. So they're literally built into a tank.
Right.
That's the philosophy behind their construction. And he's taking one of his companions through... The fact that the Daleks
are... Whovian.
Sorry?
You're Whovian, are you?
I do like Doctor Who.
You're Whovian.
I wouldn't use that word.
I'm off.
I wouldn't use that word, but I do like Doctor Who. And...
I call you Hoonts.
Hoonts.
Yeah.
And the Doctor is explaining to his companion the fact that the Daleks aren't robots. They're, you know, real... beings, flesh and blood, that chose to live this life inside a tank.
Who's your favourite Doctor?
I'm not getting into that. He's also saying that they're in constant pain.
What's your favourite TARDIS feature?
Because having married their...
Who they married?
Bodies.
Who conducted that service?
In a metaphorical way, they've married their bodies, and a physical
they've
way.
Married them, what, one, like one of them people who marries themselves? It's a sort of... You know, midlife...
It hurts the Daleks that they've attached their biology to a mechanical tank. And you know how the Daleks talk, Andy? Yeah? You do know.
Exterminate!
Yeah. And the Doctor says, because they're in so much pain,
right.
He looks the Dalek dead in the eye and says, no wonder you're always screaming. And that's what I think of when I think of Andy Parsons.
Which eye do they look in? Alexander.
Yes?
Did you ever find occasion in your youth, or more recently, to listen to the musical stylings of Britney Spears?
Not really, no.
All right, fair enough.
I quite like If You Seek Amy, which is a good Britney Spears song.
What?
She did a song called If You Seek Amy.
Oh, I thought you said if you see K me, and I was going to say, well, what does the C and the K stand
well,
for?
Well, you're onto something there, Andy.
Right. What could they stand for?
Well, they don't really stand for anything.
Right.
Because if you say the sentence, if you see K me really quickly.
Yes, but what do the C and the K, what could they stand for?
No, Andy, say the sentence really quickly.
I will not.
Well, then you'll never know. If you seek Amy.
Well, look, I get it.
Do you, though?
Yes.
What is it, though?
It's about looking for a missing child. I don't know. Sort of, you know, Zodiac-style message about... From a hostage taker, perhaps.
Well, it was a real-life case that Britney Spears was singing around.
Yeah.
She, you know, there was there were a lot of kidnappings at the time on the news.
Famously, 90s, big for it.
Yeah, and you know, you want to spread awareness as much as possible.
Yeah, and Britney, put a song on the side of a milk carton.
Yeah, and you know, Britney.
Of course, they had to imagine the tune back then.
Well, you know, it was the '90s. You know, you had MTV, and Britney Spears went, I know I can get this kid's face out there, and you know, the song is basically, if you see K me like I do. I'm looking for Amy.
Yeah.
Then contact this number.
Yeah. Did they find her?
Britney Spears actually dressed as a schoolgirl to give a sort of impression of what Amy would have looked like. Unfortunately, eventually, in the woods near her home, Amy's body was recovered.
Absolutely fine. She was just asleep.
No.
All right, okay.
You know, her body was recovered. And that's what the song Toxic's about.
Our two fantastic guests.
There's another thing we haven't talked about.
Oh, yeah, you ever cooked anything in a fucking air fryer? You ever air fried anything? And then eaten it?
Air frying's like a cult. Mm. Everyone who gets an air fryer has this sort of glazed over look in their eyes in a sort of, you know, body snatcher kind of thing.
I did try and buy one. Fortunately, we failed the personality.
Hold on, everyone. Hold on, everyone. There's an absolutely devastating anecdote incoming.
No, I was trying to do it.
Clear the decks.
I was trying to do a bit, but but you talked over it, so I'm not going to do it now.
Oh, sorry. No. What was the bit?
No.
No, that's a shame.
No, gone.
Sorry, I was also trying to do a bit at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to supersede your bit by doing another bit that I just thought of, and I couldn't be bothered to play along with whatever bit of crap you were going to trail along out your arse. Mm.
And that's the difficulty when you're just riffing like we do.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes the bits, you know.
Shut up. Now.
I have a bit. Britney Spears was actually singing about missing children.
It's about a murder. It's about a murder. Parsons has got a gammy eye.
If you see KME, it's not about what you think it's about.
No.
You're going to be furious when you find out what that song's
about. I bet I am, yeah.
I've eaten things out of an air fryer before.
But did you not even think to put them on a plate first? Sticking your fucking head in there.
As I turned to my mother.
Bennett's got burns on his...
My scorched mouth bleeding. My mother went, I'll tell you what you need. Plate.
Yeah, it really is incredible how it gets rid of the calories.
What, burning your mouth?
No, the air fryer. It's less calorific.
Is it?
I believe so, because you're not using oil.
That makes sense.
I think that's it anyway. Yeah. I don't know.
If you could air fry one thing, what would you air fry?
Baby Hitler. I'd take it back in time. I'd have to get it adapted, of course, to run off matches.
Yeah, Hoovie, back in time.
Jump in my TARDIS. Look, Doctor, if that is your real bloody name, I'm commandeering this vessel for an important bit of sport.
The sport is what? Getting baby Hitler in an air fryer, like dunking a basketball?
Yeah, so I'm actually going back from 1932 I don't even know what's going to happen with Hitler, but I've just got this crazy idea. There's this baby.
I've taken a personal dislike. Yeah. Imagine a time traveller going back in time and meeting someone, going, I'm going to kill baby Hitler, I'm going to do it. And just as they get there, someone's already done it. And they go, oh, fantastic. Hey, I wouldn't have expected you to be so pleased. You've killed baby Hitler, one of the history's greatest genocidal maniacs. Oh.
Oh, yeah, I have, yeah. Yeah,
that's... Ooh. Well.
That's my rationale for having done it.
Yep.
And don't look at this manuscript.
Now I'll take these drawings and several souvenirs.
Yeah, I guess you can keep his scalp.
If you seek Adolf. Our two guests in this episode. I might leave that really long sigh in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our two guests in this episode are Stefan Allen and Jenny Collier, both fantastic comedians who you should seek out on various forms of social media and follow what they're doing, what they're up to.
Yeah, I was trying to think if there was an F-U-seek Stefan Allen or Jenny Collier, but they don't scan. Doesn't scan.
Just say the sentence once really quickly.
If you seek Jenny.
No, the original.
Collier.
If you seek Amy.
What?
If you seek Amy.
What are you talking about?
If you seek Amy.
What?
If you seek Amy.
What? Are you having a problem? Something happened to you.
If you seek Amy.
Well, no.
That's what the song is.
What?
If you seek Amy.
No.
That's what the song's about.
What?
If you seek Amy.
What are you talking about?
Give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast.
Yeah, just discount the last sort of 30 seconds or so.
You've got to get this, Andy.
Yeah. What?
F-U-C-K, mate.
What are you talking about?
The song.
No, I've never heard it.
Well, I'm telling you what it is.
It's a song by Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where she says, if you seek Amy, as in, are you looking for this person?
Yeah.
But really, she's saying, F-U-C-K, me.
If what?
Okay. Take the words.
Jenny Collier and Stefan on the podcast. You can find them. You can seek them out on social media. They're on all forms. All forms of social media. You can find a lot of their funny content online.
Happy with that plug, are we? You can find some of Stefan's and Jenny's. Jenny Collier's
little nuggets, entertaining little nuggets,
wacky skits online. Some of the funny content.
Well, you can find some of the less good stuff out there as well. It's all.
Should we? Out there. Should we listen to some of our funny content?
Ring the funny content bell.
I'm in so much pain. Jenny Collier.
Hi.
And Stefan Allen.
Hello.
Thank you very much indeed for agreeing to explain a few things to us today.
Absolutely well, fine.
Thanks so much.
Jenny, you're making noises.
I've just eaten a meal and I swallowed a lot of air with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so pockets of that are coming around and moving around, but you won't smell it. It is just a movement, not an emission.
Well, I hope so, at some point.
Pardon me.
We come to terms with the meaning of all of those words.
Yeah, we didn't understand that as it stands.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we do understand. We've learnt about three things in the time that we've been alive. The first of which is we know who Andy Parsons is.
We are familiar with the song, Oops, I Did It Again.
we're going to be fine.
Oops, I Did It Again, okay.
And we know what an air fryer is.
I don't, but that's fine, because those first two are enough for me.
These three things we understand.
Okay.
Jenny.
Yes?
Bearing in mind what we understand,
yeah.
In 1 minute, could you please explain to us who Joseph Stalin is?
Okay.
Your time starts now.
Okay. So you know Andy Parsons?
Yes.
And he's a bald man. A man with a nothing upon his head.
Right. Well, that's not
the
true.
Head's the top bit.
Oh. He's got no hair on, he's got no fluffiness on the top of his head.
Yeah.
There's some fluffiness on the bottom of his head.
Oh, is there? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And
so he's a bald man because he doesn't have that bit on top.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
And so the Joseph Stalin is mm-hmm. the same.
He's bald.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. And he
does he have any other qualities we should know about?
So Andy Parsons says, "I don't know about you."
How does he say that?
He says it, "I don't know about you."
Yeah, and how does Stalin say it?
He says it with an Italian accent.
Italian.
I think he's Italian. Oh, he's not Italian. I tried to say out.
Thank you, Jenny.
In 1 minute, you've explained to us that Joseph Stalin is Italian, bald, and he says, "I don't know about you," in a comparable way to Andy Parsons. Thank you, Jenny.
Is he? Thank you.
He's not.
No further information required.
For goodness sake, we've got a lot to get through here.
I'm already sweating.
Do you know where Stalingrad is?
Oh.
Stefan,
can I be a clone as well? And then just have something explained to me.
Maybe you are.
Maybe.
We don't know. In 1 minute, could you please explain to us who David Lynch is?
Your time starts now.
David Lynch makes films.
What are films?
Well, films are a bit like, you know how Andy Parsons is a stand-up comedian?
No, we're just familiar with who he is.
You just know who he is. Yeah. Well, he says things out loud, and those things
certainly does.
Are recorded.
I don't know about you. That's one of the things he says.
And those are, and then you can watch those recordings in your own time.
Why?
For fun and entertainment.
Okay.
And
why would watching Andy Parsons be fun?
That I think that was pointed, clone one.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, because the things that he says are sort of wry observations, often about political life, and those are sort of satisfying.
What is political life?
It's what goes on in the world of politics.
What's that?
Politics is sort of the soap opera of...
What's a soap opera?
A soap opera is like a TV show about...
What's a TV show?
A TV show is a program that is made for television.
Thank you. Andy, would you like to sum up who David Lynch is?
I have absolutely no idea, but I do understand that some people find watching Andy Parsons say "I don't know about you" entertaining, and this can come in a number of different formats, whether it be soap opera, television show, some of this may be tangentially.
Film?
Yep. Connected to who David Lynch is.
Yeah. Thank you, Stefan.
But we'll never know for certain. But thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Those were some people that were keen to learn more about. We're also aware that other places exist separate to this place, and we'd like to learn more about those other places. Jenny, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what the Valley of the Kings is? Mm. Your time starts now.
Mm. So the land that is around us, so the thing that we're on, yeah?
The hard thing that we're on.
The substrate upon which we're on.
Substrate?
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing that our feet are on.
Yes.
It goes up at the sides. For a valley, it goes up at the sides.
A valley is when the thing our
feet
are on
goes up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, either side of you.
How close?
It can vary. In
so if you're, do you are you is your position central to understand? Can something be a valley when you're not there experiencing the sides going up?
Yeah. But just because I'm trying to help you imagine it, I'm telling you about what you're standing on and it goes up at the side.
Right, okay.
And so it can be there without you in it,
right.
Without a clone in it.
Okay.
It can just be there being...
So it's not dependent on our perception of it?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
Good question, though.
Thank you.
And then it's got kings in it.
What are
sometimes
they?
They are men with a hat right. That's got bejeweled.
Right.
And they are in charge of stuff.
What's a hat?
Yeah.
A thing that you put on your head for just for decoration.
So if Andy Parsons wasn't bald, would he be wearing a hat?
He could wear a hat, and he could wear any kind of hat, but to be a king, you also have to have some like stuff rubbed on you behind a curtain, and then told in front of the world that you're like the main hat wearer.
What curtain, what stuff, what's the world?
So some men, like of which Andy Parsons is one.
Andy Parsons is one of some men.
Yeah. So he's like... So you'd have to take his and Britney Spears' clothes off to know what I'm talking about. But it doesn't really matter. But
fine. Time's up.
Yeah, time's up, Jenny. Thank you very much. What you've told us there is that the Valley of the Kings... Well, a valley is what happens when the bit you're standing on goes up at the sides, whether you're there or not. And a king is a sort of Andy Parsons wearing a hat. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Stefan.
How's that meal doing?
Actually, I'm scared back down from all of this. Actually, there you go.
Okay.
Thank you, Jenny.
The meal's come back.
Sorry, just cut that bit out.
No.
There's so many podcasts.
We don't know what that is.
Around the place.
We don't know what that means. No understanding.
Stefan, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what a butterfly garden is?
Well, a butterfly garden is technically a garden, I think, but actually it's sort of often more of a tourist attraction.
What's a garden?
A garden is a small, usually small area outside of your house of sort of cultivated nature.
What's your house?
A house is what you live in. It's a building.
If a garden is cultivated, your house would be uncultivated.
No, the house is also cultivated. Both house and garden is a space that you control so that it's nice to live in.
But what qualities, do they differ or are they the same?
Yes. The house, you would have an artificial sides and...
An artificial valley.
An artificial valley.
Yes.
But there is a ceiling to it as well.
Oh. There's a top bit to the valley.
There's a top bit that covers the rest of the valley.
Would you describe it as a hat?
Only metaphorically.
What does that mean?
So that means it's not actually a hat, but people might be pleased by you calling it a hat.
Right.
So your house is a sort of false king.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
What was I explaining?
Would somebody
a butterfly garden?
Yes.
I think
Andy had a question.
Sorry, Andy.
Well, I was just gonna ask if you were to put a metaphorical hat on a valley, does that make it a house?
I don't think it's possible really to put a metaphorical hat on a valley very easily. I can't imagine what that could mean.
But with difficulty?
Well, I mean, I suppose if you had supernatural powers, but I think...
Supernatural powers?
Supernatural powers are powers that you wouldn't expect someone to have.
Such as?
So if Andy Parsons could fly, for example, you'd think that was supernatural.
As opposed to what are Andy Parsons' natural powers?
Wry observations
about political life.
A funny voice
and asking
and a strong look. those eyes main.
Your time is up, Stefan. Thank you very much indeed.
I should have explained butterflies.
Hey, what was the third thing that you guys know?
We have an understanding of Andy Parsons, the song Oops, I Did It Again, and what an air fryer is.
Oh, an air fryer.
And building on top of that, Andy, what have we learned about what a butterfly garden is from Stefan?
A butterfly garden is known only in opposition to your house. So you need to understand what your house is first, which is a sort of valley which has had something placed on the top of it, which probably isn't a hat in either a literal or a metaphorical sense. And that, that's that.
Thank you.
You're doing very well. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you, Stefan.
Butterflies are in the garden.
Well, whatever they are, we appreciate the encouragement. We are fascinated with human beings and the particular area of the human experience that probably holds the most fascination for us is the world of art.
Mm.
And the world of creativity. Jenny, in 3 minutes, Could you please explain to us what's happening in the song I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred? Your 3 minutes start now.
So what's happening in that song is a man with, again, a bald head is singing about...
Would you describe him as a king or...?
He doesn't have a hat on.
Maybe he does, I don't know.
He sometimes wears a hat. I don't know if he wears a crown.
Is he still a king if he's not wearing a hat?
No, he's not a king.
Does any hat render somebody a king?
No.
Okay.
It's the ointment behind the curtain.
Yeah, sorry.
I did explain it quite clearly.
You didn't actually explain that it was ointment.
Oh, didn't yeah, I? Did no. I? What did I say?
You said that they get something rubbed on them behind the curtain.
Soz. Okay. Yeah. So
we now know that that's ointment.
Some kind of ointment. Anyway, Right Said Fred probably put, not ointment, but you know, similar to an air fryer, you know, you put oil in an air fryer.
Yes.
He'll put a bit of that onto his body to dance around and declare to the world that he's sexy.
What's dancing around?
Dancing around is when music plays and it makes you move your body and you're like, makes you like want to have sex with people. And so that's what he is like.
So
does oil assist with this?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are familiar with music because, of course, we know the song Whoops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears.
Yeah, which makes you want to have sex. Right? You've seen the video, right?
Well, I don't. We haven't seen the video, we're just familiar with the song.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the video's pretty horny.
Okay, what happens in the horny video?
She's got air fryer stuff on her as well. and so right. what everyone does is get themselves basted up, moving around, and declaring that they are sexy.
What happens in the Oops, I Did It Again video?
Oh, I'm thinking about a different one of Britney Spears' songs, actually.
What are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about Hit Me Baby One More Time.
What's that about?
That's about banging people as well. But actually, the lyrics are a little bit like global, like don't actually mean anything. So don't worry about that. Don't trouble your pretty clone heads about
the lyrics. That's another thing that doesn't matter.
Yes, right. Exactly.
I'm global.
Could you quantify
global.
What sexy is?
So, do you know what sex is?
No.
So, wait till you hear this, right?
We will if it happens in the next 26 seconds.
So if you really like someone and you've got a hole or a peg, you put it in or receive it, and then that's... I'm as bamboozled as you because it's, what is that, eh?
Yes.
And then you kind of move around.
When do you hand them your peg?
No, you don't hand it to them. It's part of you. So it's a part. It's on your body, and you just put it into their bit of their body and writhe around rhythmically until you both go on, that was great.
Time is up.
Thanks so much.
I'm making it clear that I also do not know what sex is.
Well, we've got a little bit of an understanding of what it is now. What happens in the song I'm Too Sexy by Right Said Fred is that somebody similar to Andy Parsons covered in oil sort of writhes around.
Declares
that they're capable of either putting their peg in someone's hole or putting their hole over someone's peg.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, Jenny.
He was Russian.
Joseph Stalin. Yeah. Oh, I see. Right. Who was I thinking of?
Mussolini.
Yeah.
The Stalin of the West, as we called him.
I try and stay out of politics.
He looks very successfully.
Stefan.
Yes.
In 3 minutes, could you please describe to us Saturn Devouring His Son by Francisco de Goya?
Okay. I'm not an expert, but this is a painting, I believe.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
So it is where you've made a picture out of paint.
What's paint?
So paint is pigment that you have sourced from the outside world. You know gardens, of course.
We know of gardens.
And so from gardens, things grow.
Butterflies?
So butterflies are animals that help the things grow. but the things themselves are plants and flowers.
How do butterflies help things grow?
By they move from one thing to another, and seeds slash pollen.
They put their peg in the hole. They put their peg in the flowers.
Yeah. They have sex with flowers.
Yeah. Well, the flowers don't have sex directly. There's a sort of middleman, which is butterflies and other insects.
Right. Okay.
And
you're saying they walk on things?
They fly. In fact, they like
Andy Parsons.
Like Andy Parsons. Yeah.
Can't.
Yeah. Yes, very exactly like that. And butterflies are meant to fly, so that is not supernatural.
That's a natural power.
But if the butterfly had dry observations on the week, that would be
supernatural power.
Right. It's not meant to. Okay. Power.
That's Parsons' purview.
Exactly. It would be sort of creepy but interesting if a butterfly did that.
What other things would you describe as creepy but interesting?
The Saturn devouring his son, which is a reference to a Roman philosophy is the wrong word, isn't it?
What's a Roman?
A Roman is a very, very old group of people from Rome, which is a different place from this.
So when you describe Andy Parsons as one of a group of men,
yeah,
would this be a similar sort of group?
He's sort of descended from Romans, but not just Romans, many other invaders of the Celtic Isles also.
The Romans are people that Andy Parsons is related to in some way.
Very, very distantly. But not, it's taken thousands of years for the Romans to be distilled into Parsons.
Not the same group of men. So you can have men who are related to one another who are part of different groups.
Yes.
Okay.
And so Romans would tell each other stories, a bit like Andy Parsons. But whereas Andy Parsons tries to make his stories true but amusing, the Romans would tell stories that were untrue but metaphorical.
Were they
like
wry?
The roof of the valley. Were they? So do you know what? Some of those Roman playwrights could be quite wry. Okay. But generally speaking, these were stories that would be told in order to encourage them to behave in certain ways or to uphold certain values.
And in 10 seconds, what does devouring his son mean?
I think he ate his own child, but don't quote me. I'm just deriving that from the title of the painting.
Okay, we won't quote you. Your
Without
time is up.
Without using an air fryer, just at it raw.
Without an air fryer?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish I was talking about Britney Spears more. I should do that.
Thank you, Stefan. Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learnt about Saturn devouring his son by Francisco de Goya?
Certainly. So this is a painting. Which is something which is made of paint, which you can get from your garden. You can't get it from your garden without the aid of butterflies who go from one flower to have sex with that, and then they fly to another flower and have sex with that. And then at some point in this process, paint is derived. Then that paint is used to do a picture of a story that Andy Parsons' ancestors told each other a long time ago to encourage good behaviour.
Oh, that's pretty spot on, isn't it?
That's really good.
Thank you. We're happy that you're happy. Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks
so
really
much. Proud.
Thanks.
Thank you. We don't know what that is.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Myself and Andy have only been alive for a day.
Oh, yeah.
just to remind you, Jenny, we are aware that things happened before myself and Andy.
Okay.
Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
In 3 minutes, could you please explain to us what happened with the space race? Your 3 minutes start now.
Oh, I'm so glad I've got this one because, so Whoops, I Did It Again takes place.
Whoops.
Oops, I Did It Again.
Thank you.
Takes place on a planet, which is, so you know we talked about the subject.
We've only heard the song and I don't remember her singing about planets at any point.
You haven't seen the video? Okay. Mm. Well, that's not going to help then. To forget.
You could tell us about the video if it helps.
Please. I mean, yeah, it will. All right, here we go. You know, I talked about the substrate on which we are.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that, believe it or not, is like a sphere.
What's a sphere?
It's a circle. It's a ball. Do you know what a ball is?
No.
Have we covered balls?
No.
Indirectly. No.
So you know the shape of Andy Parsons' head?
Yes.
That's what the substrate. If you went really far away from where we are,
yeah.
Even though there's ups and downs, it actually is.
It looks like Andy Parsons.
It's just Andy Parsons' head.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Just a big round. Yes.
Okay. So if you were to get really close to Andy Parsons' head, would you be able to detect valleys and houses and gardens and things like that?
Yeah. No. You would just see. Orifices.
Andy Parsons' head contains orifices.
Orifices. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And actually, who am I? There might be gardens in there, but you'd have to look so closely. We haven't got time for that.
Okay.
The ball that we're on. Sorry, I hit the table. Right. You told me not to, but I'm very stressed.
That's okay. We appreciate the information you're trying to give us. Yeah. Now, tell us more about how the Oops, I Did It Again video is related to Andy Parsons' head.
The Oops, I Did It Again. Oops, I Did It Again video takes place on another different ball than Andy Parsons' head. So say we're on Andy Parsons' head. There's other bald people. So Richard Fairbrass's head is like nearby. And then upon that, Britney Spears is wearing like a red shiny jumpsuit.
Can Britney Spears detect the movements as Richard Fairbrass is dancing around?
No, because she's really tiny. She's like within some of the orifice of Richard Fairbrass's head. She's not bothered by it. The space race
yes.
is that people try to get from one head to another.
How?
With you know an air fryer?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that creates like a lot of heat.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so there's some, sometimes if a person gets in a thing which also creates heat out of like part of it, then that kind
which
of...
Which part of it?
Like, say, the back of it.
The back of it.
Then it makes the front of it go, it goes forward.
Thank you, Jenny. Your time is up. What you've done is you've explained to us there that people were trying to get from Richard Fairbrass's head to Andy Parsons' head using an air fryer.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thank you.
You could be a primary school teacher, I think.
Thank you. I think I'd like that now that I've done this.
I'm glad that this is helping you as well as helping us. Stefan, in 3 minutes, could you please explain to us the great train robbery?
Okay. Well, this so many trains have been robbed, but this was a very, very famous one.
What's a train?
A train is a vehicle that is designed
like
for mass
fryer.
Transit. No, absolutely not like an air fryer.
Would you use it to travel between Fairbrass and Parsons?
Well, Fairbrass and Parsons would be able to get on a train.
Ooh.
Because a train is significantly larger than either of those two.
And is getting on a train a natural or a supernatural power?
It is a natural power, but you must wait until the train is stationary.
Okay.
Because if it is already moving, it's very dangerous. It goes very fast and it's very large.
So it's a large thing that moves quickly?
Yes.
Does heat come out the back of it?
Heat does come out of the back of it, actually, yes. Okay. So what you should...
Does it have any other qualities?
So the heat is an unintentional thing. I think in an ideal world, the people who made the trains don't really want the heat, but you have to have the heat because that...
Why?
It is a consequence of the machinery that is used to make it move.
Which is?
These days, is it electric? It's diesel, isn't it? Okay, it's engine. It's a complicated piece of machinery. Much like an air fryer, I don't understand it in detail.
Okay.
But clever people built it so that it would move. And it'll move between one place and another that are very, very far away, too far to walk. And the great train robbery was when a group of robbers tried...
What are robbers?
Yeah. So they are people who take things that do not belong to them.
What belongs to them and what things do they want?
So the things that you belong are things that you know for a fact. This is my second language. This is hard.
What's a language?
A language is the specific subset of words that you have in common. So we have the English language in common, but my first language is Welsh. You don't know very many of those words.
What's Welsh?
Welsh is a different language.
Hello.
That doesn't show it off to its best. But diolch yn fawr, Jeff. So it's just another language, just a better language. But that's so the idea is that you would, in between two places, try to intercept the train to take things from it that are of value. Your life is better now because you have those things.
What are those things?
Maybe gold. Maybe wealth, maybe objects that are...
How would you take wealth from a train?
Well, the concept of wealth, you wouldn't. You would take things that represent wealth.
How'd you steal a concept?
By stealing the thing that represents the concept.
Okay, so stealing gold from a train, if you're a robber.
Yeah.
But why doesn't that gold belong to you?
We're back to Russia now. As people, we have generally agreed on a system where some things are said to belong to a person, and there are many different systems by which we decide who
Thank
owns
you.
What.
Thank you. Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learned about the Great Train Robbery?
Yes. So, I can't remember where we bloody started. A train is a vehicle. It's not like an air fryer. It's bigger. It's natural to get on one, but if it's going too fast, it's unnatural and dangerous. And you would use this to go between places that are very, very far apart, which aren't either Richard Fairbrass or Andy Parsons. Some of them contain things which represent the concept of wealth. And a group of people who don't own something that represents wealth might want to intercept the train in order to get those objects. I understand that in some way Russia has maybe abolished this concept of wealth or done something to it.
But excellent.
I can't tell you anymore.
Thank you for that, Steph.
That's so much for 3 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, loads.
I think you did well, as far as I understand.
Well, you did very well, because you understood it.
There are so many different things to learn about. I'd like to put some more to you. Jenny, in 2 minutes, can you please tell us what a chaise longue is?
Mm.
Your time starts now.
So sometimes when you have, sometimes you want to put your body in a horizontal position. So
what times?
When you're weary or horny.
Could you please describe what qualifies those two states?
So weary is when you have been doing something that fatigues you.
Uh-huh.
Such as?
Running.
Okay.
Trying to move at the pace of a train.
Trying to move at an unnatural pace, yeah.
Yeah. Unnatural.
Yeah. I've forgotten any of the other things that I've told you about, so I've still just got Richard Ferber. No. Anyway. So, a chaise longue is a thing that you can...
No, you've forgotten something there. Huh?
We understand what weir is now.
Okay.
What's horny?
Because you said it was important to our understanding of a chaise longue. So.
Yeah, so so you know before I told you about the peg and the hole thing?
Yeah.
So, when before, just before you do that...
Just before
you do that, you sometimes it's good to do it in a horizontal plane.
Right.
And so you... you
the peg and the hole, that's an example of horny, is that?
Well, it's it's so a pre-horny state.
So horny is like the pre-state.
Okay.
Horny is what you are just before you put a peg in the hole.
Exactly.
And then do you become weary after that?
Oh, absolutely.
How many flowers would a butterfly have to visit to go from being horny to being weary?
Oh, loads, actually. They're really busy. Oh, no, that's bees.
And what's a chaise longue?
It's something that you recline upon. So you put your body, instead of portrait, you put it in landscape.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thanks very much.
Your time is up. You've explained to us that a chaise longue is something that makes you horizontal if you're weary or horny.
I like that you've never been asked to explain sex, but you've done it every turn.
Oh, God. I was going to start to describe nothing.
Wow. Stefan, in 2 minutes, could you please tell us what a wishing well is?
Your time starts now.
Okay, well, it's a special type of well.
What's a well?
A well is a hole in the ground from which you get water. So
the ground, the substrate, so there's something beneath.
Yeah, so water is essential to live. And if you you'll know water, of course, as something that goes in an air fryer. Is that true?
I don't think so.
Okay, you don't, maybe, well.
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
we know what an air fryer is, we don't necessarily know everything that goes in an air fryer.
Okay, yeah. Well, so water is a liquid that is essential to consume for survival.
Would you describe it as an ointment?
No, but water is necessary to produce ointment, so that's another very important
use. So it's part of something that you'd put on a king?
Yes.
Okay.
And you get it from the bottom of a well.
So sometimes you have to, because there are many different sources of water, but in some places you have to dig underground.
Name four sources of water.
Name four sources: rivers, rain, tears, and wishing wells.
Okay.
So it can't be derived back out of ointment.
It can't be. If that system has not been invented yet, and if it was, it would be a tremendous waste of time.
So
water to ointment is a permanent change of state at present.
Were you to scrape ointment from the king?
Yeah.
And try and turn it back into water?
Yeah.
That would be a waste of time.
That would be, yes, and maybe treason, depending on which king you did.
What's treason?
Treason is when you do a bad thing to a king.
Such as?
Killing a king, definitely right. Treason.
What's killing?
Killing is stopping something from being alive.
Okay.
We generally believe as people, but this isn't an objective truth, but we believe that killing people is wrong because we think life is good. We think it's good to live. And so if you kill a thing on purpose for no good reason...
And what does killing do to...
It means they can't operate anymore. They don't experience the world. They don't know things. They can't do anything. They don't take part in
life. So were you to kill Andy Parsons, he wouldn't be able to do...
He wouldn't be able to do stand-up. He wouldn't be able to do anything. There would be no Andy Parsons. There would just be a body in the shape that Andy Parsons used to be.
Your time's up. What makes the well wishing?
You throw coins in it and make a wish. Little indications of wealth. And then you make a wish and you hope it becomes true. And some people think that that actually happens. And some people think it's a lie we tell children because it's nice to hear.
Thank you. Andy, would you like to use that clarification to sum up what we've learned about what a wishing well is?
Yep. I'll have a pop. So water is essential to life. If you deprive something of water, it dies. And if you turn water into an ointment, it can't be changed back. So... you get this water from under the ground. You also get it from tears, rivers, and two other sources. Rain. And...
Wishing wells.
Yeah.
What's it was, wishing wells?
I thought that
well
was...
Well done.
Thank you.
Right.
Have a star.
And then you can also chuck coins in there and then wishes come out. But they might be a lie.
Thank you, Stefan.
Well done, you.
Thank you. We are fascinated by human behaviour. And we'd like to learn...
Don't ask me about shagging again.
Again!
I don't believe I asked you at all. I'd like to learn more about human behaviour.
It's entirely your choice as to what information you volunteer.
Okay.
Jenny.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, would you like to explain to us what I would be doing if I were to have my teeth whitened?
Okay.
2 minutes, time starts now.
So in order to eat the delicious goods that you've made in an air fryer, you need some, I don't know if you're aware of what you've got on your, I don't know if you're aware of yourself, but you've got...
I'm aware I exist.
Hard, sharp things in your mouth.
In the hole in the front of my head.
In the hole in the front of your head.
There's hard, sharp things.
And they're used for...
I can feel that.
For mashing up whatever you consume to give you energy to go about your day and shag. and so those teeth...
How does mashing things up and consuming... What is consuming?
So the you get... power in your body from the little electric juicy bits of food that go into your body, and somehow that
would you describe that as natural or unnatural power?
It's magic. It's totally unnatural, weird, supernatural, so amazing.
I'm not going to get more wry observations about the news if I eat
No. I don't know.
Okay, but the power you describe helps me do what?
It helps you go to a different ball in the solar system.
So eating food allows you to travel in the air. So you make food in the air fryer, you consume the food, and then you can get in the air fryer and you can travel with the power that you've gained to Richard Fairbrass.
All those sorts of things. Oh, as before, we talked about death. If you don't put the food into your hole in your face... You die.
You stop.
So you want to, yeah, you want to continue being.
Okay.
So the food goes in.
Yes.
And you have to mash it down really small because it has to only go through quite a small tube out and then out the back. And so it has to be made into like a squishy.
Is there an intermediary process between going in the tube and coming out the end of the tube?
Yeah, it gets mashed around and then it goes.
Your time is up, Jenny. Thank you very much indeed. What?
Please go ahead.
Well, you've explained to us that having your teeth whitened means
There was a time. I got used to having 3 minutes, and then you take it back down to two. It's really hard.
Well, we've got a lot to get through.
Yeah.
We want to get all this done before we die.
Whenever that may be. What we've come to learn is that we don't know what about getting whitened, but your teeth are sort of sharp, hard things in the front of your hole in your head, and you use them to mash down food so that you can consume it so you don't die and can continue going between places in an air fryer and or shagging.
Fantastic.
I'm worried I've given Andy death anxiety by explaining death.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, is it something not to fear, or should it be feared?
I don't.
Well, I think that thing you said about where the belief is that life is good, and I definitely subscribe to that belief. But imagine how embarrassing it's going to be when if we do die and we look back at life and we're like, that was so lame. And actually, the next thing
the
is
after
like
party's
much better.
Way better. Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. So don't worry. Don't like.
It might be fine.
Don't worry
about it. Something to look forward to and expedite, or
don't wish your life away.
Right.
But it'll be
so
interesting.
So if I'm chucking a coin in the well.
Yeah. Don't wish
think
for
of
death.
A different lie.
Although, I mean...
That's got really dark.
Although it might not happen anyway, so it's also, I don't know.
Jenny has introduced a concept of a life beyond life, which I have to confess, Andy, I find terrifying as well.
Well, I mean, there's so much to know about this one.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Including Stefan.
Well, maybe the life beyond life is only the three things you already know about.
We really have to move on.
Yeah. Could you please tell us what we would be doing if we were to go to a 70s-themed party in 2 minutes starting now?
Okay, so the 70s. Mm. You know how yesterday you didn't exist?
We can infer that.
In a way, yesterday was different to today because there weren't you in it.
Yes, it happened before us.
Exactly. Mm. So the 70s is a period of time that is significantly longer ago again. Not only were there not you, there weren't any of us in this room, and there were many other things that there were not also.
Such as?
Such as modern trains. The trains they had then were a bit different. A lot of things.
How were the trains different in the 70s?
Ashtrays, yeah. An ashtray is a little dish that you can put your cigarette ash in.
What's a cigarette?
A cigarette is a thing that you smoke, which is bad for you but addictive.
And does so it make you die? Or?
It does make you die faster. Right. And sometimes in unexpected ways. So if you were tired of
life, you could.
You could. No, it's a very, very, very. It's a very slow and unpleasant way to go, and I wouldn't recommend it.
Why would you?
Well, people do it because they think it looks cool, or because of peer pressure.
Why does dying quickly make you look cool?
Do you know what? Like, you've misunderstood something, but in a way that is true, I think.
That's good.
I think the aesthetic of hey. Appearing not to care about life is cool.
Because it's valuable.
Yes.
And if you don't care about something that's valuable,
that suggests that we admire that, even though we don't. It's not necessarily the best way to live.
So the train robbers weren't cool.
Some people might think they were cool. Different people have different opinions on who is cool.
Did
and
the
who
train
is not.
They robbed have ashtrays or not have ashtrays?
I probably had ashtrays. Although it's longer ago than the 70s, so I don't know what the system was in those days. Anyway, the 70s...
Your time is up, Stefan. Thank you very much.
They probably just put their ash into sawdust on the floor.
Yeah.
Then,
they're lucky they got robbed. That was a fire hazard waiting to happen.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learned about going to a 70s-themed party?
Before today, before yesterday, a long time ago, when the trains had ashtrays in, people behaved slightly differently, and you could...
I think that's all we've learned. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Stefan.
And people have different conceptions of what cool is.
Yeah.
Some people value things, some people... value pretending not to value things.
That's useful to know in a 70s themed party. I prepared you for it more than I've explained it, I think.
Well, that's also useful. Yeah. Myself and Andy have use of the English language, but not a full understanding of it or the meaning carried with it.
It shows.
Okay.
Sorry, carry on. Sorry. You're trying to get through it, and I'm just.
No, we appreciate any information that you can give us, and if that's
yeah, you're not doing a good job of hiding it.
If that's a qualitative judgment, then we'll take that on board.
Yeah. Understanding perception is good,
according to some.
Yeah,
Jenny. Could you please explain to us what I would mean if I were to say I'm going to throw another shrimp on the Barbie? Your 2 minutes start now.
I don't even need 2 minutes. It's an open-air air fryer, and you throw a shrimp on it.
What's
done.
What's a shrimp?
A prawn.
What's a prawn?
A thing.
What's a thing?
It's a delicious, delicious animal in a shell with eyes.
I don't think we really covered what an animal. We know a butterfly is a type of animal.
Yeah, a butterfly is a type of animal. And then another type of animal is a much juicier one that's sort of good with
juicy butterfly.
So, are they defined
exactly
by their levels of juice? So if you were to put more juice into a butterfly, would that render it a
shrimp? Do you know
what?
I reckon it's happened before that people have cooked a butterfly and ate it a la seafood. Or because it's more and more people eat insects. Anyway.
Yeah, but what I'm asking about is the quantity of juice in an animal what
yeah,
kind
people
of
want
marks it out
succulent
as a,
things to put in their mouth and mash down. So it needs to be like, so you don't want something dry and sawdusty to put in your mouth.
So prawn is succulent.
Juicy, succulent, yeah.
Okay.
So if you add and extract amounts of juice from a prawn or from a butterfly, does that change what they are? Does that change the animal?
It doesn't change the animal, but it changes the experience of devouring them.
Okay.
And given that things that are succulent and full of juice are good, why would you put a prawn in an air fryer? Because that does it performs
well,
the exclusive purpose of removing all moisture and juice.
I'm so glad you asked, because you are right. But what it does, you don't put it on for too long. Right. So you just want to put it on so that it makes it not dangerous to eat, because it might kill you if you eat it when it's raw. Because
what's the difference between raw and not raw?
Raw is sans air fryer. Raw is just out of the sea. Here he is, alive in my mouth.
That's is that the quickest route to death?
It's probably a non-fun, not that quick way.
But would you recommend it?
No.
Thank you. Your time's up.
I don't like that Andy seems to be scouting for death.
In 2 minutes, you've explained to us that what I would mean were I to throw another shrimp on the barbie is that I would pluck a juicy butterfly out of the sea, briefly put it in an air fryer, and then consume it.
Now I'm really worried that put another shrimp on the barbie is actually a euphemism for shagging, and I got it all wrong.
I think that's another time you've brought that up.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well,
thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenny.
Stefan, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us the phrase, dance like nobody's watching?
Okay.
Time starts now.
You know the song Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears?
Yes.
Yeah. You know how that gives
it's got
you...
something to do with Andy Parsons' head.
It feels sort of strange, doesn't it? You must feel emotions when you listen to that.
I think we need more context to feel emotions. We are capable of feeling emotions, whatever they are.
Yeah. So it, you feel different now than when you are listening to that song.
That's true.
Yeah.
Feelings that you have when listening to that song might make you want to move your body rhythmically.
Right. Yeah.
We went over this with Fairbrass.
Yeah.
And it was before. This is something to do with horny again, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it can be. People think that there might be a connection, but the key thing is when we listen to music such as Britney Spears or Right Said Fred, then we it makes us want to move our bodies. However, a lot of people think it's not cool to move your bodies and not very dignified.
Who doesn't think it's dignified to move your body?
Certain people.
Who?
Many people. Many different people. For example, if you were at Andy Parsons' gig and you started dancing while he was doing his stand-up, he would think that was very uncool. And probably so were his audience, because it's inappropriate to move in that context.
Why can't you move at an Andy Parsons concert?
Because at an Andy Parsons concert, the words don't have the rhythm. They have a different sort of rhythm designed to make you feel relaxed and laugh, whereas Britney Spears
when he asks if you've ever noticed.
Yeah. Whereas when Britney Spears, it's the same voice in some ways, wants you to feel horny and move your body. So what the phrase dance like no one's
Andy Parsons doesn't want you horny. Still.
No, he very much does not want you horny. Funny is the opposite of sexy. That's important. Write that down.
And in now, 4 seconds, what's funny?
Funny is the opposite of sexy. It's where you feel so relaxed and at ease.
It's when you throw in a peg and a hole in two different directions.
you wouldn't even be bothered about the peg and the hole.
Thank you, Stefan. We very much appreciate the information there. Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learned about the phrase, to dance like nobody's watching?
Yeah. So to dance like nobody's watching means to move your body rhythmically in a manner that Andy Parsons would absolutely hate. Ten. You pretend that he can't see you.
Thank you, Steph.
You're welcome.
Andy, at the end of that, who do you think has provided the most satisfactory explanations?
It's a tough one. Mm. It's a real doozy, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, I would agree. I've got anything to judge it against.
I felt that the understanding of the surface that we're on was pretty crucial.
Yeah.
However, I did find Stefan's explanations of death and how to get there exciting and alluring. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to give it to Stefan.
Yeah. Whilst I agree, I thought Jenny contributed many useful things to
shagging,
the information.
Horny.
Well, the problem was that it was mainly shagging.
No.
So I think
I don't
overall
want you to make out like this is me that did that. Like you said, I'm too sexy for my whatever. That was one of my questions. That was one of my questions. And then everything just snowballed.
Well, we don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But we appreciate the information, but I'm going to agree that Stefan gave the most satisfactory explanation. Hmm. So, Jenny, you don't seem okay with that. Jenny Collier, thank you very much.
Please, you're welcome.
Jenny's meal, thank you very much.
Stefan, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Oh my God!
At last.
Alexander! Andy!
Oh, I mean, well, he that's got what he wanted. Yeah. Yeah.
You have been listening to Born Yesterday, featuring Andy Barr and me, Alexander Bennett. I created the show and Steve Pretty composed the music. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell people about it. Follow us on social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.